Of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given to me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. It's good to see all of you, and it's good to be here at Trinity. For those of you who can, I hope that you will call your mothers today. And for those of you who cannot, like me, say a prayer for her. So Father Michael Remney, a Roman Catholic priest in Richmond, Virginia, tells a funny story about the time he lived with Bishop Sullivan in the Bishop's Palace in Virginia. He lived there for 15 years. Bishop Sullivan had three schnauzers. Their names were Muppy, Fritz, and Sandy. And he loved these schnauzers. He loved his dogs. But Father Reniger did not really care for them. In fact, he greatly disliked them, and he referred to them as Lucifer, Satan, and Beelzebub. He said they were the meanest dogs that he had ever known. They would wake up at 4:45 in the morning and begin to bark. They barked when the phone rang. They barked when someone rang the doorbell. They barked all the time. They jumped in the chairs and would not let you sit there. And they jumped on people. But he had great respect for the bishop. So what was he to do? He came up with a very interesting idea. He came up with this idea. He said that he would punish the dogs by imitating the bishop. Every day the bishop would come home at 4:30 in the afternoon, and he would announce to the dogs, "Oh, hi, guys," and they would come running. So he decided that he would do his best bishop-y voice, and at 4:15, 15 minutes earlier, he came in. He said, "Oh, hi, guys," and sure enough, they came running, but when they turned the corner, they saw who it was, and greatly disappointed, it was not the bishop. And then Father Reniger went into the cloak room, and he called the dogs, and they came running in there as well, and this was great. It was much too much for him. And he went into the kitchen where the floors were highly polished, and he called the dogs, and the dogs ran in there and they hit that floor and they slid right into the cabinetry. And he thought that this was just the best thing. And so this went on for a couple of days until he walked in one day and he hollered out, "Oh, hi, boys," and nothing happened. Said it again and nothing happened. And finally he walked into the living room where he found the dogs sound asleep. You see, they had figured out how to recognize their master's voice, and it wasn't the good father's. In today's gospel reading, A group of people go to Jesus and ask, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. The questioners are not really interested in the knowing if Jesus is the Messiah or not. They only want to trap him. They only want to trap him into admitting that he is the Messiah, because that is an offense worthy of stoning. And Jesus' response is, the work I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you still don't believe. I once read where an Amish man was asked by a very enthusiastic evangelical man if he was saved. And the Amish man replied, why do you ask me such things? I can tell you anything I want. Here are the names of my banker, my grocer, and my farmhands. Ask them if I am saved. In our laziness, in our confusion, in our fear, we ask for things that are right in front of us, but we don't recognize them. We don't recognize what we see because it is foreign to us. We don't want to do the hard work of investigation, of searching, of actually doing something. We want to hear someone else's truth. That way, if it pans out to be false, then we have someone else to blame. And Jesus is telling his questioners to observe, and the only way to truly observe is to follow, is to watch. Follow me, watch me, listen to my words, and then make a decision if I tell you the truth, Jesus says. But this only works if we are being honest in our desire to know the truth and to follow. Jesus tells the bystanders that he is a good shepherd. The good shepherd and his followers, his sheep, they have known his voice. They know Jesus' voice because they have followed. They have seen the miracles. They have heard Jesus speak of the love for them as God has loved Jesus. The truth Jesus speaks has become their truth because they have seen and known and experienced it. And this is how we come to know and to love. And so we practice. We practice this seeing, listening, and talking with one another in community. We practice this and we fail and we practice it again, and maybe we get it right today, but if not, by God's goodness, we practice it again the next day. And this is called grace. It is grace that allows us to misstep and begin again. And we are always beginning again, aren't we? Some folks believe that simply because we are practicing our faith and life should be easy. This isn't the message that Jesus spoke or ever acted out. Life is difficult, and sometimes our challenges are difficult and painful. So painful that they leave a mark physically, emotionally, or even spiritually upon us. Our country has been at war so long that the numbers of military personnel who struggle with the horrors of war is staggering. And those of us who have been rejected by others often end up with deep scars. When the plans we had for a joyful life fall apart, we are marked in a way that are painful. These marks are reminders for the rest of our lives that we have come through a great ordeal. In the reading from Revelations today, the question is asked, who are these robed in white, and where have they come from? And the answer is, they are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. A couple of years ago, my son, we call him Trey, but his real name is Mars, but that's too confusing for today, so just work with me. He is a priest, and his first cure, in one of the first months that he was in his church, he tells his story about a man coming in. As the story goes, the choir and the altar party had just processed into the church, and everyone was taking their proper place for liturgy to begin. And he noticed a man coming in just a little bit late, and he sat right beside his wife. He said the man made him uncomfortable. He looked disorderly, and he looked as though he was trying to figure something out, something that was bothering him. So Trey began to stare at his wife. He didn't know what to do. It would look funny if he got up, and he knew that in a little while his wife would go and get their son and bring him back, who was 1 year old. So what could he do? The scenario is all too familiar. It is repeated every Sunday in many congregations. Someone comes in who doesn't look like us, act like us, and our antennas go up. Trey discovered that the man had been through a great ordeal in his life, and he simply wanted to be in church where he felt safe, where he could find a place to listen for God, to hear a word of hope. And isn't that the role of the church? Aren't we supposed to open our doors to all who desire a word of hope? We are taught to practice being Christians, not just to say that we are, but to practice it. And that can put us in awkward positions sometimes. And yet, if we are being faithful, practicing is what Jesus calls us to do. A couple of weeks ago, Willie Geist, on the morning news that he does now, he told a wonderful story about practicing in the moment. In a barbecue restaurant in Alabama, three African-American men were seated enjoying their meal when an elderly white woman came in and sat down at a table by herself nearby. As the meal went on, one of the men watched the woman. And then he got up and he walked over and he began to talk with her. As it turns out, that day would have been her 60th anniversary with her deceased husband, who died a year ago. And the young man invited her to come over and eat with them. And so for 45 minutes, she shared stories of her life with her husband. Now, what caught my attention was not the black and white connection, although that was nice. What caught my attention was the fact that many times I've encountered the same scenario, but didn't act because of the what ifs. What if they tell me to leave? Or what if they think I'm some kind of weird person? I don't know what went through this young man's mind before he decided to walk over, but whatever it was, it caused him to get up. It caused him to get up and to practice kindness, which is the mark of Jesus' teaching. So, my friends, what would your grocer say about you? What would your colleagues at work say about you? Or your help around your home? Would your way of life match who you proclaim to be? Jesus calls us to practice again and again and again. Every one of us goes through our own ordeal. Let us pray that it has marked us with compassion and love and an awareness of others.